Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the week four installment of the walkthrough. I'm Maddie Kiwoom, joined by Cody Carpentier. We are going game by game, covering every single matchup in the week four slate, Sunday's matchups and Monday's. Cody, how the hell are you?
Doing fantastic. And rumor has it, it's going to be the fastest episode yet because we have talked more this week than we have in the last, 4 weeks. It feels like once the season began, we talked maybe once a week for like, you know, a couple minutes here and there, but we got our annual pre-show conversation in. I feel flowy, I feel goey, and I feel like I just housed a double chunk chocolate cookie. And I think it was a white one. And I think that means it's the comeback for Rashad White. We called Amari Cooper last week. I'm calling Rashad White this week. Off the rip. We're coming right with it.
Okay, we'll talk more about Rashad White when we get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Philadelphia Eagles matchup. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited to give this episode five booms. Boom, 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 boom. So I guess we are apparently the Costco guys of fantasy football, and I'm just realizing now we kind of are.
Well, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I went to Costco last night. And I didn't get a double chunk chocolate cookie or chicken bake.
I've never gotten either of those things. You get the chicken bake.
Chicken bakes are hammers.
I have no idea.
Hammers. But I did get two pieces of pizza because It's like $4.50, and the pieces of pizza are like the size of a pizza. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's the next iteration of the Costco guys is when they talk about the pizza being as the same size as Big Justice. Because they do have the big pizzas over there. I go hot dogs when I go there because you can get the footlong, the glizzies, and they're $1.25. You throw some onions on those bitches. They're fantastic. Costco, low key good food court.
Let's be honest here. No real man, no real alpha male eats a glizzy.
That's false. That's so false, dude. That is so false. Only alpha men eat glizzies. They're perfect for sports. They're perfect for on the go. And they're just meat.
You won't catch me red-handed sitting in the stands of a game, sitting in my own living room, head turned sideways, two hands on a foot-long piece of sausage putting it in my mouth. You will not ever, never, ever. Haven't done it since I was about, 10 years old. So there's only one man in this country right now that is getting in trouble for doing stuff like that. But, you know.
You had to go there. We're not even 5 minutes in. And also, what happened to the show? We said this was going to be the fastest, slickest, smoothest, quickest, best show ever. We're barely into it. We've already talked Costco guys, talked about glizzies. But I think now it's time to talk about the first matchup on the week four slate, right? Okay, enough Costco guys. I'm sure we got plenty of impressions coming in the rest of this episode. But let's start with the New Orleans Saints heading to the Dirty South, the ATL, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. We talked briefly before we hit the record button, so now let's really get into it. Saints are getting 2.5 points as road underdogs. We have a 42 over-under and a money line where you get juice taking the Saints. So the question I'm asking you, my friend, and how we can relate this to fantasy, is Vegas telling us right now that the loss of their center and Alvin Kamara is banged up? Are they telling us that the days of weeks one and two of this Saints unit is donezo? Are we done? Are we done with the Saints?
I don't think they're telling us they're done. I think it just says more about the Falcons, who have a 1-point win against the Eagles in Philadelphia. An argument could be made that they should have won that game on Monday night if people didn't have, you know, preconceived conspiracy theories about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs would have won that game regardless. It's just the way it is, having the best quarterback. And then they lost by 8 to the Steelers at home. So this is a team that keeps the games in the pocket. It's the way Kirk Cousins plays. The Saints, it is weird because the Saints lost to the Eagles by 3 at home. The Falcons beat the Eagles by 1 on the road. So my math tells me that they're literally just taking the difference in these games and making that the line, which I don't know if that's right or wrong. I think the better team is the Saints. The healthier team is the Saints. The Falcons have a little bit of a neutered offense. Sorry, the Falcons have a little bit of a neutered offensive line. I'm not sure they'll be able to run it quite the way they want or expect to against these guys. I know Marshawn Lattimore's not playing like Pat Surtain right now, but he's still a pretty good matchup on Drake London. I don't know why the line is built the way it is. I tend to believe the Falcons are going to be fine in this one, but it is in Atlanta. And I don't know. It's a toss-up game for me. It's one that I'm staying away from on the betting front. As far as the players in conversation, we talked about, you know, predominantly wide receivers. You know, Darnell Mooney is averaging 6 targets a game right now. He's got about 10 expected fantasy points per game this week from PFF, 11 fantasy points per game on the season so far. Mooney's an interesting flex play. This week, I'm kind of like, you know, looking for a handful of these flex guys as the buys start to dwindle in. And, you know, Mooney's a guy that I have on some rosters that I'm just like, I'm not dropping him. I'm not dropping him because I believe in a week or two I'm going to need him in one of these spots when I have, you know, guys entering buys and I'm going to feel good about him. I'll feel good about Wandale Robinson. Some guys of this nature I talked about on Undercovered Ops this morning, Thursday morning, Friday, whatever day this is today. I don't even know, but Undercovered Ops was on South Harmon YouTube channel. And I talked about a bunch of these flex guys, and I think Mooney's kind of in that same conversation. So he's kind of the one guy that comes to mind in this game when I'm thinking about fantasy football. And the only, like, I guess other than your studs, he's the one guy that I would feel decent about playing.
I in terms of betting, I will put some shillings down on the Saints money line. If you're going to give me a little bit of juice, I'll take it because I do believe they're the better team. I do agree with your analysis in terms of the fantasy assets in this game, but the point that I will add before we move on is get your Bijan Robinson offers ready to go. I still think it's too tough to buy into Bijan right now after only 3 weeks, but he's been good, not great. And I think this matchup is a bit tougher. The Saints are good at tackling. They give up the third lowest rushing yards after contact per carry, meaning once they hit you, they bring your ass down. I think this could be a game where Bijan performs adequately, but gets like 16, 15 fantasy points. And at that point, the window may crack open just enough where you can get good offers in seasonal format. So have those Bijan Robinson offers ready to go. I still have him ranked as running back 3. I'm not betting against him. I could just see a game in which he doesn't go berserk. And if it's 4 games in a row in which he's not in that running back 1 overall conversation, panic may set in on the former first-round pick in fantasy. So have those offers ready to rock and roll. Let's keep it in the NFC Dirty South. The Cincinnati Bungles travel to the Carolina Panthers, a couple of teams that have one win between the two, and shocker, it's not the freaking Bengals, but they are still 4.5-point favorites on the road. An over-under of 47 is actually quite encouraging for the fantasy purposes of this potential game. Let's start with the Panthers. Can we trust Andy Dalton? And if the answer is yes or no, what does that mean for Deontay Johnson, your boy Xavier Legette? What does it mean for the pass catchers for the Panthers?
Man, I tell you what, man, I was wide open quite a bit last week. And tell you what, he didn't get to target me just a couple times. But I tell you what, this week I've been working with my main Mingo a little bit. And I do think them targets finna come my way a little bit with Adam Thielen going to the IR. So just keep me on your fantasy team. And I promise you, I will catch a touchdown one of these days because my Xavier Legette do that work. So
you have a good Xavier Legette.
I just went down the street. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I was just, I literally am in a couple hours from Carolina. And
you just hang out with him.
And Legette grew up just like, you know, miles from my house right now. So, I mean, I get an interview from this guy every week. So, you're welcome for those that tap in every single week here in South Harmon. I mean, we're getting the inside scoop on Xavier Legette and the expectations in any given week. But, you know, when I talked to him yesterday, he said that Mingo was still getting some of that run in front of him. He's been splitting a lot of that work in the slot with Mingo. Adam Thielen, of course, is not there anymore. Jalen Coker, well, he's not there anymore. He's in the IR. But Coker was brought up to the 53-man. He'll probably be inactive on Sunday. So it's going to be predominantly Johnson, Mingo, and our boy Legette. But I think this week, personally, going against our buddy Leggett. I think Mingo's the guy, based on formations, based on targets, based on what we saw last year. I think they're going to try and give Mingo, as far as targets go, Mingo's going to be the guy, second to Deontay. Now with our man Leggett, like, he's going to get manufactured touches. My thing here, Maddie, is what's that magic look like for Dalton? I mean, he played, we've seen this though. We've seen, I mean, is it going to be the Gardner Minshew Andy Dalton, or is this going to be like a Sam Darnold Andy Dalton going forward? That's kind of where we need to figure out where we're at, because I've saw Colt McCoy on Underdog breaking down some Andy Dalton stuff this last week. That's some high quality football. That's not, I don't think that's Gardner Minshew football. I think that's a high quality football. And he really hasn't been thrusted into the number one role in Carolina at all until this last week. So he's just been able to sit back, study his ass off, and focus on the playbook and pick it up and have a connection and lead. And like this is a big game for Carolina, because if we talked about this on the hurdle there tonight, if they can beat Cincinnati at home, again, they won that Raider game in Las Vegas. I don't, the Carolina fans are, you know, Carolina will fill that stadium. They will.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, they had the home game against the Chargers. They got dusty. They beat the Raiders. They come back home. And if they can beat Cincinnati, the next 6-7 games going into their bye in week 10, 11, it's pretty digestible. It's the Bengals, the Bears, the Falcons, the Commanders, the Broncos, the Saints, and the Giants. And the Saints right now, we think are good, but we're not really that sure what they're going to be in week 9. If this thing cools off a little bit, all of those games become winnable if Andy Dalton plays the way Andy Dalton played against the Raiders. The question for me becomes, and I know we're talking on a team level here, not fantasy, is if the freaking Bengals lose this game and then they have to host the Ravens next week. It just feels like it's a must win for Cincinnati. I don't think the Panthers have enough gasoline to burn this Bengal to the ground. I think what we saw from Cincinnati on Monday night against Washington is that this offense is clicking. The defense, not so much. The offense is clicking. I think the defense is good enough to slow down Carolina. So I'm going to ride with Cincinnati here in totality. But as we talked about with flex guys a minute ago, Yosavash moved entirely into the slot this past week from like 35% to 77% in the slot. He is a dynamo version of Tyler Boyd. And I think it's going to continue to kind of neuter the T. Higgins owners just a little bit on a weekly basis, where they're going to, you know, kind of expect, you know, potentially boom games out of Higgins. I'm not sure about that. I think this Yosavash playing keeps the ceiling for a guy like Chase, but lowers it for a guy like Higgins, where everybody knows Chase is the alpha here. And having a Yosavash in the slot with dynamism is going to keep guys to that side of the field with him and Higgins.
We've been seeing it for quite a while that Andre Yosavash will be the reason why the Bengals don't ultimately sign T. Higgins to a big-time deal. And I think that's still trekking to be true. Higgins was very encouraging in his and where he was targeted in his first game back this season. So that's encouraging if you roster T. Higgins. What I will say about Xavier Leggett, you brought up Leggett, you let him come here and talk real quick on the pod. The Panthers don't give up a ton of pressure, at least they haven't so far this season. The Bengals have generated some of the worst pressure so far this year. I can see a scenario in which Dalton may not be the world beater that he was, but has enough time to dial up a couple of long distance, big time throws to the first round pick Leggett. And if you're desperate for a flex play, he might be the player there. He might be the play there. As we talked it through, I kind of like that. Also, revenge game for the Red Rifle. Let's move on to the next contest on the week 4 slate. The Los Angeles Rams take their 1-2 record to Chicago to play the 1-2 Chicago Bears. We talked about it before we hit the record button. The line has moved in a kind of shitty way, right? The LA Rams are getting 3 points now as road underdogs. The over-under 41 suggests ain't going to be a ton of fantasy excitement. There is some juice on the Rams money line if you like it at plus 130. But what should people expect from this game? Is this game going to finish 16-13, 17-10, or are we going to see a repeat performance of Caleb Williams throwing the ball 55 times, getting Odunze going?
I liked what I saw from Caleb last week. I like what I saw from the growth of the team. You know, they got that big win on in week one against a bad team. How weird is this schedule that they opened up completely AFC South, AFC South, AFC South? I think that's kind of interesting, and I think that's pretty abnormal. And they got that win. If you remember, they were down 17 and came back and won. And then they kind of ran into a little stifled situation in Houston. They played well, but not good enough to win. Caleb turned the ball over. The Colts game was just odd to me. Thought they should have won this one. You know, it was – you can't – I mean, Jonathan Taylor's a not been able to establish the run, I think, is the number one thing against these guys. We talked about that coming in last week. Like, can the Bears establish the run against the Colts? No, they did not. Swift is certified watery dog piss right now. And when you watch the Bears, they give up pressures. Caleb hasn't been, I don't know what the word is. He hasn't been confident. He's confident. He's a very confident player. He hasn't been the most confident or as confident as you'd like in the pocket. And we saw a great distribution of targets, Odunze, Kmet, and more. And the connections have gotten tons better week over week, which you'd expect from a rookie, right? We talk about this with Jaden Daniels and how great he was on Monday night. That's grown. That's been on the cusp of happening. And these rookies getting better week by week is a great tell. Like, it is, you know, looking back, especially from an NFL draft perspective and from a dynasty perspective, all of these rookies, Marv, Rome, Malik, Caleb, Jaden, Bo even got his win against Tampa. All of them have gotten better week over week over week. And I think this is the one where the Rams completely exerted every ounce they had last week to beat the Niners, because that's been a massive game that the Rams have not been able to really beat the Niners much under McVay, and they did it. And they took every ounce out of them. The team was beat to hell. They completely flipped the script to 12 personnel, and now they go to Chicago with a team that's getting better week by week. But they're not a great team, but they're going to get better week by week. It's still the fall. It's not cold weather. This is a perfect game for Chicago to kind of get a win, stick it under their belt. Then they go to Carolina next week, stick another one under their belt. They got three home games. I don't know why I said go to Carolina. Three home games in a row, technically. One's overseas, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. And it's where they build momentum. And this is a game that Caleb should win, should be able to take that next step, should be able to get this team north of 20 points. And we heard earlier this week from a report from Fowler from ESPN that said Roschon Johnson was going to get an extended look. And if Roschon Johnson gets an extended look, that should be north of 15, 16 touches. Yeah. So, Maddie, I'm interested to hear where you have Roschon this week, because I have some internal bias built in. And Alex has him at 32. I have him at like 27. And I want to know where you have Roschon with this built-in thing. It's not quite RB2 territory, because we haven't seen any efficiency out of this backfield really whatsoever, or even belief in the backfield. So I'd like to know where you have Roschon.
Right now I still have him at running back 49. I haven't updated since that one report. I could see him, though. I could see him going up in the right around running back 30. So I have Swift at 30. I could see myself flip-flopping or kind of splitting the difference and having him in the Javonte Williams, Carson Steele, Cam Akers discussion. If this report has some more legs, I need more than just one Jeremy Fowler report on a Wednesday. You know what I mean? I do think that it would be smart for them to use Roschon. He's the only chance at them having a sturdy power back option. And the problem is that Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus are a couple of blue-footed boobies. I think they're dunces. I think they got double chalk chocolate cookies for brains. Because I'm looking at one key statistic on ProNFL.com, pressure rate. The Bears have one of the worst in terms of their offense. The Rams have one of the best in terms of their defense, getting after the quarterback. This would be the perfect game to line it up, ram it down the Rams' throat, set up the play action, hit DJ Moore deep, because they're also a terrible tackling team in terms of their linebackers, safeties, and cornerbacks. Give it to these playmakers like Rome Odunze and let them wreak havoc off of the play action. But because they got double chunk chocolate cookies and chicken breaks for brains, I can't believe that that'll be the case. So I'm not elevating Roschon quite yet. And even if I do, he's going to be exactly what you just mentioned, fringe RB2, not solidified RB2, because I just don't trust them to do the right thing with this team. And it's really becoming a shame.
Chicken bakes for brains. Chicken bakes for brains. Chicken bake for brains.
Yeah, I love it. The next game on the slate, it's going to be a clean game. It's going to be a smooth game. It's going to be one of the best looking games on the slate. But before I talk about the game, speaking of keeping it clean, speaking of looking good, if you head over to manscaped.com right now, use the promo code SHFF at checkout, you will get 20% off of your order. I'm talking about you could get the beard hedger. You could get the lawnmower 5.0. You could get the Dome Pro. Hell, you could even get the Chairman Pro package and keep it tight, keep it right. Any of these products, you just head over to manscaped.com, use the promo code SHFF at checkout, get 20% off and free shipping. So keep it right, look good, get it going. Cody's using the nose hair trimmer literally as we're breaking it down, proving that Manscaped's products are far superior than all else when you talk about the men's grooming industry, community, people, whatever. Either way, head to manscaped.com, use the promo code SHFF at checkout and get 20% off. Now, this might be the best game on the slate. It's certainly the best game on the early portion of the Sunday slate. The undefeated Minnesota Vikings, skull! They head to the vaunted, hated division rivals, the Green Bay Packers, and take on a 2-1 team that is on a 2-game win streak. The Vikings, despite being undefeated, are getting 3 points on the road. 44-point over-under suggests it could be a bit of a slugfest. Not in the way we like it for fantasy, but in the way we like it for old-school, old-timey, good, clean football. And the Vikings are actually getting a little bit of juice, plus 124. Let's start with the most important question of this entire matchup. Cody, does Jordan Love suit up for the Packers?
Yes, divisional game. He has to. If not, they drop a game in the division. They drop the 2-2. The Vikings go to 4-0. Malik Willis can't read this defense. Brian Flores is the NFL coach of the year, and he's a defensive coordinator. I'm not sure if any defensive coordinators ever won has a defensive coordinator ever won coach of the year. I don't think so. NFL coach of the year. I don't think that's ever been a thing because they do an assistant coach of the year award. No, a defensive coordinator has never won NFL coach of the year. Like D'Amico Ryans won it his first year as a head coach in Houston. He was a former defensive coordinator, but Flores is the coach of the year. And if it's not him, it's O'Connell secondly. And against Malik Willis, this game would be a shutout. And Malik Willis has played very well. But what Flores does, Malik is great. I love Malik, but it would throw him in a complete tizzy. It's just not fair.
He's going to throw Jordan Love into a tizzy. That's what Brian Flores does. He's good at drawing up looks. Right, exactly. That is what makes him such an assassin as a defensive coordinator. He's so good at building up plays, making them look like there's something totally different, bringing pressure, and getting Dallas Turner for a weapon for a guy like Brian Flores was fantastic. And it's another example of good franchises getting better while poor franchises stay poor. Getting a pass rusher like Dallas Turner should have been something that, I don't know, the Atlanta Falcons, who still can't generate a goddamn bit of pressure in 2024, should have looked at instead of getting their backup quarterback. But I digress. We're not talking about the Falcons. We're talking about the Vikings and the Packers.
Wait, is that the Falcons? Is that the team that's dead last in QB pressure right this year?
I believe so. But I was told that Raheem Morris would be enough to fix those problems.
It's probably not the Houston Texans that are first in QB pressures. They took Will Anderson last year. It's probably not the Jets, who took Will Anderson the first round of the year before. That's second.
Will McDonald.
It's probably not. It's probably not, the Cowboys who have Micah Parsons that are top five. It's probably not T.J. Watt and the Steelers. It's probably not the Vikings with Dallas Turner. Like, none of these things matter, right? Yeah, these edge rushers don't matter in QB pressures. Oh, and all those teams I just listed doing pretty good. So Falcons doing pretty good themselves, but again, creating zero pressure. Long run, winning championships, you need it. Anyway, Vikings, Packers. Play the hits. This is as simple as this. If Jordan Love plays, you play the hits. You play Reed. You play Jacobs. You're playing Dobbs. Like, this is a Dobbs. People have kind of fallen asleep a little bit on Dobbs, I think. And I don't think, I mean, nah, I don't want to say fall asleep, but I mean,
what in total. What do you have at wide receiver this week?
In who? Dobbs?
Yeah.
Let me look here. 31.
I feel like that should be where I about have him. I'm at 44. But I'm thinking about putting him above the Tank Dells, putting him in the Juwan Jennings range, to be quite honest. But we'll see. So we're good on those guys. Like, I agree with you. Play the hits. Play the hits here. This should be a good one.
I'm monitoring Jordan Addison, though. Like, Jordan Addison, Naylor's going to be – I've continued this flex conversation here. If there's no Addison this week, which looks questionable continually Naylor's going to continue to be a guy that I stay at least ahead of on. And that's why does you're 45 this week ahead of guys like Jacoby Myers and Jalen Tolbert and stuff like that.
I like it. And let's move on to the next game, another actual divisional rival opponent type matchup. But this one does not expect to be as clean and neat. It's not as manscaped as the Packers Vikings. Talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars taking their straight defeated record to the Houston Texans to take on CJ Stroud and the 2-1 Houston Ball Club. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 6.5-point underdogs. Over under of 45.5 is about mids of the slate. Let's start here. Do the Jacksonville Jaguars have a chance to bounce back this week against the Texans?
I think they do. We had our Shrek a Million show last night, and the guys wanted to take the Jags +6. And the last two matchups at Houston both occurred in, last November in Houston, the Jags beat them outright. And then the January before that, which would have been without Stroud, they beat them outright 31-3. Those were both under T-Law. So T-Law in Houston's pretty good. T-Law does not look good, though. T-Law, I got a source that told me he's been on the chiropractor's table all week. Not good. That offensive line, not good. Houston just got embarrassed by the Vikings. For me, it's a total stay-away situation. They had the talent in Jacksonville to do it, but I don't believe in it at all. It's yucky. It's yucky to me. And as far as the players go, Christian Kirk is on the verge of, if Lawrence plays and Lawrence continues to play, the connection and the health for Christian Kirk seems to have returned.
Yeah.
He had 10 targets this last week. I know it hasn't been pretty. I got him as wide receiver 40 this week. It's a solid matchup. I just, in totality, I'm not impressed with much going on in Jacksonville. Christian Kirk in his career against the Houston Texans, last November, 7 for 90. In September, 6 for 54 and a tug. Those were both as a Jacksonville Jaguar. So I think he's a fine play this week. I think he's healthier than he has been and then continues to be. So he's kind of a buy candidate for me in seasonal situations. Gabe Davis, not sure what's going on there. And this Brian Thomas thing, I think they want him to be the alpha, but I'm not sure he's quite ready to full-blown do it, which we've talked about on end.
I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but his drop on the first drive of Monday night cannot be understated. I mean, it was a complete momentum killer. It allowed Josh Allen to just come out and just start punching them square in the face, as opposed to a long, sustained drive. We saw the Jaguars put together some decent drives in the second half, and you saw the difference of how that game played out. So I don't believe Brian Thomas is ready to be the wide receiver one on this team. I do have him right now as wide receiver 40, so I'm not benching him because he's always there for the big plays. But I think this is a game in which the Houston Texans absolutely beat the dog piss out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know a lot of this is skewed based on last Monday night, but they're 30th in they're 31st in point differential. And I know, again, small sample, they got killed last week, but this is where I believe the lead can be built out tremendously by the home team, the Houston Texans. The Texans are first in pressure rate. We talked about it a minute ago. They are going to cause so much havoc for T-Law in that offense. And then you look on the other side. Oh, what happens, Cody? And we've talked about this before. What happens when the GM doesn't draft players that they need? What happens when they pass on pass rushers like Aiden Hutchinson to get a project like Trayvon Walker? What happens when they do not put together the adequate players to compete in the NFL? They get killed. And they have gotten zero pressure on quarterbacks so far this year. And if you're going to give C.J. Stroud with these weapons time to throw, this is the game where C.J. Stroud goes for 330 and 4. This is the game where Tank Dell can have 5 catches for 130 and a touch. Nico can go off. Stephon Diggs can add. This is the game where the Texans can kind of throw out the demons that they accrued from getting killed last week by the Vikings. They can take it out on their little brother in the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if this happens, Cody, does Frank not Frank Reich, what's his name? Doug Peterson. Does Peterson get fired if they get blown out this week?
Gosh. Like, in context of what, like overall, or you think he gets fired next week?
No, he's getting fired. Then they're not writing the ship. If they come out and they lose 35, if what happened to them on Monday Night Football happens again to them by their divisional opponent, does he make it back to Florida as the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach?
Where'd they leave Urban Meyer at?
That's a good question.
When did they fire him?
They left him somewhere and he stayed there. He obliged them, right?
He was fired after a 2-11 start in his first season. 2021, 2-11.
After
2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 20 to rip at Tennessee. So a divisional game the week before Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the owner went on record saying that this was the best team that they've ever had as a franchise. You can't fire all 53 players, but you can fire the head coach. So the seat will get infinitely harder if they get beat bad this game. And I'm with you in terms of the players for fantasy. You're playing everybody. The last guy I need to ask you before we move on, though, we've kind of touched upon most of the fantasy relevant guys. Joe Mixon's out. Are you playing Cam Akers?
Yes,
I am too. I have met running back 28, but I could see him getting inside of my probably top 24. I could see him being running back 25, 26. So right outside my top 24.
Alex has him at 21. I'm closer to like 31. I'm closer to Roshan. Alex is pretty bullish on him. I'm not.
I like the receiving touchdown. I don't love the work, but there was no rhythm last week. The Vikings just kept them so off balance. I think that he still showed explosiveness. I think he looks back. So if Joe Mixon's ruled out, and I don't give a rip about Damian Pierce and what his status is, but it seems like he might miss too. Yeah, I think I'm going to play me some Cam Akers. I think he might be another stream-worthy type player.
Pierce did not practice on Thursday, nor did Mixon.
Okay, so we are trending in the direction to give Cammy Achilles another shot.
Nor did Tank Dell.
So that's two straight DNPs for Mr. Nathaniel Dell. Definitely need to monitor that, because if you're screwed at the tight end position, Tank Dell being out opens up some targets to go to Dalton Schultz, because we've seen him already go to the other two guys. They're going to go there no matter what.
Who puts himself kind of square. I know he's only averaged less than 4 targets a game, less than 4 fantasy points a game. But when you start talking about that, I think this is a Dalton Schultz get right game. This might be a cash consideration for DFS for me this week, is Dalton Schultz.
Love it. I love it. Let's move on to the next game. The Pittsburgh Steelers take their undefeated 3-0 record to the Indianapolis Colts to take on the 1-2. Ooh, this is a tough game here, because the over-under of 40 suggests not a lot of points are going to be scored. And then on the betting side, there's not really juice either which way. The money line and the Steelers are only getting 1.5. It's damn near pick 'em on DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Where should we begin? Because we're playing the usual suspects, right? But how do you feel about the receiving core for the Colts this week?
I'm mad. I'm agitated. I'm irritated. I'm sick and tired and annoyed by every one of them. We saw Josh Downs return, get 5 targets, go 3 for 22, do his best Wandale Robinson impression. And we saw Adonai Mitchell go from 75% to 5% route participation. What are we doing?
I don't know.
This guy can't throw the football. And I love Anthony Richardson. He can't throw the football. He completes it. He pushes it downfield, and he gets lucky at times. How many times have these guys went up there? Pierce, who we know is an athlete, you can jump 11 feet. Pittman, not getting targeted enough first off. Mitchell, we know, is an athlete, but that's what we took him off the field. Got to take him off the field. And these guys go up and make these disgusting rebounds. This team is not good because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Matty Keelum, if they put, listen to this. This is going to tilt people. And this tilts me. Why do you think I'm fucking yelling? You can't trust anybody on this fucking team right now outside of Jonathan Taylor.
Correct. That is the correct answer. Yep.
Anything. This team, listen, ready? This team is 3-0 if they play Joe Flacco all 3 games. 3-0. 3-0.
And Pittman's feasting.
Undefeated. Pittman's a fucking top 12 guy. Taylor's killing it. Competency ensues if Joe Flacco's a starting quarterback. I don't know what to do, Maddie.
I'm with you. I mean, I got Pittman at 30, so I'm not completely throwing him out. But in our 10-team seasonal leagues, you're going to have the decision to make. Do I play Pittman or do I play Juwan Jennings? Do I play Michael Pittman or do I start Darnell Mooney?
We're in that territory right now. Those aren't questions right now.
You're just not playing. Where do you have Pittman then?
You can't play him. It's a horrible matchup. He hasn't done fuck.
He hasn't done fuck. Oh, I'm going to lower him.
4 fucking receptions a game. Not even. Less than 4 receptions, less than 7 fantasy points per game. He hasn't done squat, and it's not his fault.
Where do you have Richardson this week? Where do you have him ranked? Because I'm at quarterback 10 because you can never take away the rushing upside of a player like this. But I don't feel good about having him at 10. I don't feel good about it, Cody. I don't like it. I don't like having guys like Brock Purdy and Jordan Love behind him. But with this rushing upside, you know, it's too much to go. So where do you have Anthony Richardson?
14.
So you so I don't have the stones to put them there. You do, but that seems more correct.
Can I tell you why?
I would love it.
Because it's the worst matchup on paper for quarterbacks.
It's a bad matchup. TJ Watt is going to be in his face all game long.
Watt, Highsmith, and their linebacker speed. I don't say neutralizes Richardson, but this might be the game, Maddie. This might be the game at halftime that they bench him. And it chaos will fucking ensue. They got Jacksonville next week, Tennessee. They got divisional games. And if you go into a divisional, back-to-back divisional games at 1-3, you're in trouble if you're the Colts. And the Colts are expecting to win. Jim Irsay expects to win. This team is built to win now. If this team fails, Chris Ballard loses his job because it's been in that conversation for the last 3 years. If this team fails and Richardson fails, it's Chris Ballard's head. And I love Chris Ballard, and I love Anthony Richardson, but those are factual statements. And if Pittsburgh is beating the Colts with Justin Fields in Indianapolis, and this game is 16-3 at halftime, Joe Flacco comes out the tunnel first.
Ooh, that's a bold claim, but I don't think it's a bad one. Man, I don't think it's a bad one. And this has nothing to do with fantasy purposes, but it's just another negative in the category of starting Anthony Richardson with confidence. Peyton Wilson is starting to get more and more playing time. We're seeing his defensive that's what he brings to the table. More speed. Their linebacking crew is it's nasty. So, but we're playing Jonathan Taylor. You can't go away from Jonathan Taylor. We're playing George Pickens. We're playing Justin Fields in 2 quarterback, no doubt. Is this the game that Najee Harris has Najee Harris's best game in 2024 so far? Does he break out this week?
Oh, yeah. This is Najee's best opportunity.
I think, this team gives up a ton of rushing yards per game. And
this is the perfect team. Perfect. This is the Stone worst situation for Indianapolis to be in because of that, because this is Arthur Smith and he's going to come in here and I would just run RPO down their fucking gullet.
Right. And this is a game where the defense could score a touchdown. Fuck, the defense could score two touchdowns and Najee gets 22 carries for 120 something yards and a touch. And they don't need to throw it to him because they don't need to throw the ball more than 12 times this fucking game.
Bingo.
This is nightmare fuel for Michael Pittman rosterers and Indianapolis Colts fans, no doubt.
How many times did Malik Willis throw the football?
Against the Colts?
14 times.
Yeah. That was the number I kind of was basing it off of, was that right there. You don't have to throw the rock ton. And what did Josh Jacobs do? Grinded them out. It wasn't big play after big play. It was grinding them out. And Najee, that's why they rested him, in my opinion, on Wednesday. We're going to see him come back to practice. His arm was in a sling, but everyone said it was precautionary, including the fantasy docs out there. They rested him on Wednesday because they're saying, big fella, we're going to need you for 25, 27 carries, big fella. We're going to need you to look like your Bama days, big fella.
Big homie, the Steelers could start the season 4-0, and then they host Dallas for Sunday Night Football. Then they got the Raiders. This team could start 6-0 before a Sunday night with the Jets. That's a big game.
Hashtag Mike fucking Tomlin, brother.
Oh, also, don't forget about Pat Freiermuth. I mean, this guy's been tight end 12, 12, and 11 or 12, 12, and 13 the first 3 weeks. Hasn't dropped a pass. At the tight end position, everyone's Foxville at this point.
Yeah, everyone sucks. But I got Pat Freiermuth as a play this week for sure. Let's move on to the next game, the Denver Broncos. They looked a lot better last week, getting their first win on the season, and they take their 1-2 record to the East Coast to play the New York Football Giants, who are actually 2-1 after they kicked the living shit out of my New England Patriots. The Broncos are over a touchdown dogs on the road, plus 7.5. Over-under of 39.5 suggests a lot of Breece Hall. Maybe some Braylon Allen. What do you think about this game? Let's start here, though. The progression of Bo Nix. Should it be understated? Should we be excited about it, even?
He's fucked. Breece Hall, running back 2.
Yeah, got him there as well.
Braylon Allen, running back 32.
I got him at 38, so I'm not far off.
Wide receiver, Garrett Wilson. Plug him in. It's tough matchup. Very tough matchup. The toughest,
I got him at 12.
Matchup. I got him at 14. The toughest matchup. But, you know, Lazard is probably going to be the beneficiary in this game. I'm not touching anything on the Denver side, period.
Me either.
Lazard, I'll probably end up a little higher than 45. I'm early 50s right now. He's probably going to end up somewhere in the 40s when the end of this week comes. Stay tuned in for that. Maddie's rankings are up at SouthHarmonFF.com for free. Mine are up at Roster Watch. So I just think that the Lazard thing has feet because of Rodgers, period. And this is all I want. I want to play Wilson because you have to. I want to play Lazard. I think Conk Daddy is interesting because of the Wilson situation.
He's always interesting, yeah. As long as Aaron Rodgers is quarterback, Conklin's interesting.
And then both the backs. And then just let's move on from Denver.
But we'll pick up the speed after this game, but I have to say this. You brought a show back from the ashes, one of the best shows in the fantasyscape, and you talked about a wide receiver on the Denver Broncos. So the floor is yours. Tell the people about the show that dropped earlier this week and the player that I'm alluding to.
Undercover Ops Season 5 dropped on South Harmon YouTube channel. I'm thinking about putting it on podcast as well. Probably should have planned that out before, but I didn't. Because that's just how I roll. I got too many fucking shows in a given week that I don't think about shit ahead of time. Troy Franklin, who had a 16% target share in week 3, which is more than Marvin Mims has done in a season plus. So all of last season, his highest was a 15% target share. I know we're literally splitting pubes here, but he had 15% twice. Franklin had 16% last week. And as far as route participation goes, Franklin at 18% week 2 after being inactive in week 1, 30% in week 3, 30% ties Marvin Mims, who had a bump. I think you're going to continue to see this Troy Franklin ascension happen. The guy is very developmental, as you would say. Him and Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas is just enthrusted into a bigger situation. He's a bigger player, more dynamic player. Franklin is a better receiver than Mims, Lil Jordan, Devon Vele, Josh Reynolds, and at this stage of the game, even Cortland Sutton. I'm not calling for him to be the wide receiver one, but I'm just telling you, if you don't already have him, I know it's 88% ownership in Dynasty leagues right now, so only 12% of leagues he's available in Dynasty. He's available in just about every seasonal league. I wouldn't probably add him at this stage, but you're watching him in seasonal. You're buying him in Dynasty. It's going to happen. It just is. It's just the way it is. It's just the art. I'm telling you the truth right here. You tap in Undercover Ops every single week. It's either going to be late Wednesday nights or early Thursday mornings, probably early Thursday mornings. But Undercover Ops every single week, we'll talk about Troy Franklin and players alike.
Let's keep it going. The Eagles take their 2-1 record down to Tampa Bay to take on the 2-1 Buccaneers. A battle of the 5 seed versus the 6 seed. If the playoffs were today, Buccaneers are home dogs by just a point and a half. 43-point over-under seems low. Where do you want to take this conversation? Because to me, it just seems like fire everybody up. Let's move on.
Fire everybody up. Let's move on.
But I am hammering the over. I think this goes over 43 points. So I'm hammering the over there. And I got Saquon Barkley, running back one. Let's go.
I mean, Saquon Barkley, we talked about this, bro. How sick and how good do you feel if you're sitting out there and you drafted from the turn, you drafted 112, 201, and you went Saquon, Jonathan Taylor.
Mm.
And then you came back in round 3 and you went Devonta Smith, Malik Nabers, which is exactly what we told people to do. Or sometimes it was Cooper Kupp and Malik Nabers. Cooper Kupp sometimes over Devonta Smith. I think
Cooper Kupp was the better play, to be honest.
He was a great play, but I mean, that was that's how we started. When you're at the turn, yeah, every single time, that's what we vouched for was Taylor and Barkley, 3-4 turn. It's Kupp and Nabers or it's Smith and Nabers. And Smith got banged up. Smith is playing really good. Kupp was going to break fantasy again. Got hurt. Nabers did break fantasy. So, I mean, you're squatting fucking 1,000 pounds at this stage with that start nonetheless. But I just want to give ourselves a little tap on the back ski.
Let's head to the next game. The Washington Commanders head out west to take on the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury revenge game, everybody.
Jaden Daniels goes back home.
Jaden Daniels heads back. He played at Arizona State. That's correct. Amundo. The Cardinals are giving 3.5-point favorites as the home favorites. 50-point over under suggests fantasy bonanza. I agree with the fantasy bonanza. Play everybody. Play anybody. But I got to ask, can we play Trey McBride? Is he going to make it? Is he going to clear protocol?
I think the latest news we've got, I haven't seen anything. Yeah, nothing's came through in the last hour. I don't know. You know, I think he will. That's a big move, though, if he doesn't, for obvious reasons as the focal point. But it's only going to enhance our guy Marv. I guess the deep guy, I only talked about receivers on Undercover Ops this week. The deep guy would be Elijah Higgins. That's the, you know, they call him Higgy or whatever Kyler does. Kyler likes himself some Elijah Higgins. So I guess Higgins would be the guy, not Tip Ryman, who coming into the season people kind of expected. But as far as Arizona side goes, it's Marv. Michael Wilson's playable. I think I have Michael Wilson as a, like, not great rank, but he's got a great matchup. And if we get the guarantee that no McBride, Michael Wilson is going to be the biggest riser between today and Sunday morning. So I think we feel good about that. I would venture to bet they're precautionary with the McBride thing. Didn't practice Wednesday. So what do you think about Washington? You think this is sustain? You think this is a thing? I love JD. You think this team is a thing?
I do believe this is a thing because two key factors are kind of working together. A head coach that he may not be the best, but this is a Super Bowl caliber coach. He brought the Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl. He brings poise. He brings a level-headedness to this franchise. And then they have Cliff Kingsbury in the role he was meant to play, offensive coordinator. And the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles, this is a fireable offense, okay? I'm developing this take. I'm not quite at the finish line yet, but I'm inside the red zone, folks. I'm inside the red zone. Ryan Poles, it is a fireable offense to let Cliff Kingsbury go and not make him the offensive coordinator when you knew you were taking Caleb And who coached Caleb at USC last year, Cody? Cliff Kingsbury. It was Cliff Kingsbury. So to not keep that connection going was a potentially fireable offense. And I do think Washington will be a thing, but I think they are more fun for fantasy than they are a contender in the NFC East because their offensive line isn't quite there and their defense sure as shit is not there. But my play of the week comes from this game. And it's not Jaden Daniels, even though, I mean, I am QB4. Brian Robinson, for me, is running back 10 on the week. Brian Robinson has ran effective. Brian Robinson has been fast. And Brian Robinson is going to inherit all of the passing down work that has been vacated from Austin Ekeler. Remember how this offense started in week one. Missed throw to Brian Robinson, followed by a screen to Brian Robinson. Last week, week three, Jaden Daniels completed all 19 of his pass attempts under 20 yards. Well, when that goes to Brian Robinson, he's going to catch it. When that goes to Zach Ertz, he's going to catch it. And I love Brian Robinson, and I love Zach Ertz this week. And I like the Washington Commanders. I do believe that this team, and I do not think this is a Fugazi shootout. I think this is a real one. Indoors, because you have that extra revenge factor. You have the big stage 4 o'clock game. And again, it's worse for West Coast to go to East Coast than it is East Coast to go to West Coast. So I'm not falling into that trap. I think Washington comes out and puts a good game plan together, scores a lot of points. The problem will be, can they stop Kyler Murray and the Cardinals? And maybe they can. They'll have a better chance if Trey McBride is out. But if Trey McBride plays, he's my tight end one. I love him this week. I think this is his true 2024 breakout game as long as he can get himself on the field. But, yeah, you are very excited if you roster any of these players. You're going to play them all. Let's move to another game out on the West Coast that doesn't have as many. You got something for me, my friend?
I want to know what your score is for this Washington-Arizona game, first off.
I think this game finals as, I'm trying to get, 33-27. I couldn't get math problem.
This is the highest scoring game of the 2024 season. Period.
So it would have to go past. What was their Monday night game last week, right?
Let me look here. Highest scoring game of 2024 NFL season in the 2023. 70 points. So Dolphins scored 70 last year. Raiders scored.
That was last year.
Yeah, Raiders scored 63. 56-19. So the highest scoring game last year in totality would have been 41-38 Detroit Chargers, 79 combined points.
I do remember that. Yep. I remember that game.
So I think this game is going to be north of that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Maybe I'm a little too low on McLaurin at 24 then.
I think this game has 48-45 written all over it. What was that Rams? Was it Rams Lions? Rams versus Lions? High score. What was that? Or Seahawks Lions? Seahawks Lions. Everybody remembers this game from a couple years ago. Golly.
Yes. Yeah. I do remember. That was week two or week three. It was early in the year in Detroit. Geno went bonkers. Ken Walker went crazy. Yeah. That was a wild game. Oh, yeah.
That's the score. 48-45. That's the one. And everybody just went ham suey. Geno went for 320. Goff went for 378. Jamal rushed for a hundo. Rashad Penny rushed for a hundo. Metcalf had 150. Lockett had 90. Hockenson had 180. Josh Reynolds had 80. Like, everybody's eating in this football game. Everybody. This is 48-45 written all over it. And I think you're wrong in one instance. You broke down the game great. One instance, Brian Robinson is not getting all of the receiving work.
Because Jerry McNichols does anything this game?
Yes, Jeremy McNichols is the next guy in line. I saw this at training camp, and he looks good. I was like out there looking for Michael Wiley, our boy from the Senior Bowl from Arizona. I was out there looking for Chris Rodriguez, who looked like a complete dunce. And Jeremy McNichols looked very efficient out of the backfield. Last week he came in, ran three routes. With Ekeler going down last week, Robinson actually ran one less route than he did the week before on two more total snaps. So I do think that McNichols kind of steps in and takes takes on a bit of the receiving role. I don't think it nukes Robinson by any means at all.
Right, right.
But I do think McNichols is going to get some of that work. And in a game like this, I do think McNichols is going to be a top 50, top 45 running back.
Yeah, I just moved him up to running back 50. I think you're right there. I think that he kind of profiles a little bit closer to how you use Eckler. So it does make a whole lot of sense. There's going to be a lot of scoring in that game, but I don't know if there's going to be a hell of a lot of scoring in this next game. The New England Patriots and their 1-2 record head out to the Bay Area to take on the 1-2 San Francisco 49ers. Patriots are getting 10.5 points, double-digit road dogs, but an over-under of 40.5. I'm taking the points of the Patriots here. I do not believe the Niners cover. I do believe the Niners win. I don't believe it's a close game, but I don't see a blowout here. Let's start there. How do you see this game going?
24-0.
See, I don't think they score 24, and I think the Patriots get one rushing touchdown this week.
How?
At least. Because they've been a pretty good rushing unit. They're 10th in rushing overall rushing efficiency, and the Niners are 26. There is advantage for that to happen. I think this is going to sound weird. I think this game has an abnormal dependability on the coin flip. If the Patriots get the ball first, I think they have a chance to score in the opening drive. I do. If they don't and they give up a touchdown, then 24-0 is absolutely on the table. They have to control it from the coin flip. That's the only way they can keep it close for a little bit of the game. But I think after a loss last week, because they opened up, let's call it what it is. If they had continued to throttle it down, run with Jordan Mason, they probably would have been able to eke that game out last week. But because they opened it up, let Brock Purdy throw a little bit more than he probably should in that given circumstance, they let the Rams to fight and claw their way back into that game. I think that Shanahan looks at this as just, hey, as long as we take care of biz, we run Jordan Mason 25 times a game, this game, we can get out of there with a 17-7 type of win, but that doesn't cover if it's 17-7. But yeah, I don't like this fantasy purposes. I guess the only thing you're going to play Brandon Ayuk, right? You know, you got to play Ayuk. You're going to play Mason. But I guess the name that needs to be talked about most is Juwan Jennings, who went bananas last week, is now like a top five scorer on the season because of last week. Can fantasy managers depend on Juwan Jennings to perform in week four?
I think so, but definitely not. I mean, you know how this works. You know this is not going to be a double back. This right. is common sense.
This isn't like, Puka Nacua. He's 27 years old.
Correct. He's a dog. Don't get me. He's the original dog, but he's not. This isn't him. This isn't. I mean,
he's
you're
Chris
not gonna,
Conley.
I mean, Chris Conley's on that roster.
I know. Yeah, but that's what he reminds me of, a Chris Conley of a few years ago. Like, oh, is Conley a thing? No, he had a couple of good games.
I'm also going to be interested to see how New England plays defense against Jennings and Ayuk. And
that will be interesting.
And does Brandon Ayuk make the trip back to San Francisco?
Dude, you know, it's funny. I had this thought in the car the other day. That contract extension does not guarantee he's around next year. Why wouldn't Washington take on that contract next year?
I was going to say New England, but Washington works too.
I think we could see him in the Commanders uniform in 2025, because I don't think Adam Peters, who knows Ayuk extremely well, Jaden Daniels knows Ayuk extremely well, dating back to their days at Arizona State. I still think it's very much on the table, and I think they would have given him that contract. So I don't think they give a rip about taking that contract on. So there's that. Let's move on to the next game. The Kansas City Chiefs and their undefeated 3-0 record head to La La Land to take on the Fightin' Harbaughs, the 2-1 Los Angeles Chargers. The Chiefs are a touchdown favorite on the road. Over-under of 40 suggests a beatdown by the Chiefs, in my humble opinion. How do you see this game going, and is there a chance that this is the week Travis Kelce performs?
I thought it was last week.
I thought it was last week too.
I got backdoored with his receptions prop, which I think was either 4.5 or 5.5, and he plopped it on that last drive because they needed it. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was like squeezing my testicles out, like throwing the football, throw it. And it's like Rashi Rice, big chocolate chunk cookie. Rashi Rice. I was like, all right, can we throw it to Kelsey now or no? Like,
yeah,
Kelsey, you know, that butchered haircut needs a target here or there.
I like the haircut.
It's due. I mean, we're way past due. The Kelsey game's way past due. And if you look up Travis Kelsey all time, this is my favorite thing to do, right? Travis Kelsey, look it up live versus Chargers all time. And our good friends over there at StatMuse, they have one of my favorite databases in history. What's up?
That's exactly where I was going to go. This is tough to do as a tight end. He has back-to-back 40-point games against the Chargers, back to back. Because remember, he didn't play Week 18 against the Chargers, but last year, that's great radio. As I try to locate the freaking week, it doesn't matter, I guess, what week it was. Early in the season, Week 7, 40.9 fantasy points, 12 catches, 140 yards, only one touchdown. The matchup before in 2022, he played him in Week 11. 6 catches, 115 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns, 40.5 points. This is the get right game.
What about the game in Los Angeles in 2021? Every game in Los Angeles, he gets sick.
In Los Angeles, right. Yeah, you're right. Buck
15, 3 touchdowns, Buck 91, 2 touchdowns. He's had 90
straight 40-point games in LA.
Yeah.
Oh my God! This has to be the get right game. I'm changing my rankings right now. I don't give a fuck. I'm not one this week. I'm going with it. I don't care. I'm not scared. Yeah,
trends.
This is the get
trends,
right.
Trends are the I was gonna say evil of fantasy, but trends are life, man. Trends are
patterns are real. Pills are good. That's a dumb dove reference, not a drug reference. Anyway, yeah, this is the get right game for Kelsey. No Derwin James, who's suspended. And if you're Harbaugh, who are you trying to take away, Travis Kelsey or Rashi Rice at this point? It's Rashi Rice.
He better not get caught lacking, I'll tell you that.
No, he can't get caught lacking on Rashi Rice because Rashi Rice will eat his ass up. This could be a big game for warranted. Warranted. Absolutely warranted. Does Justin Herbert play in this game?
I think so. I mean, this is like this game's plus 7. I like it for Circa. I like the Chargers to cover here. If Herb plays, if not, I mean, could get disgusting, but they've covered the last I was looking at it last night. Chiefs, Chargers, all time. I think it was the last 5 times. It doesn't matter. I can't find it. The last 5 times in Los Angeles, but I know it's a different scheme, different regime, so it doesn't really matter, but I think they cover. I don't think they win. I think Herbert plays.
Yeah, Herbert's tough as fuck, man. He's a tough kid.
Is Quentin Johnston the wide receiver one or not?
He is the wide receiver one on that team, but who gives a shit? I don't think I'm not buying that. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I saw him at wide receiver 50 this week. I'm not buying the Kool-Aid. 2 catches, 50? One just went for touchdown. Yeah, I'm not buying the Kool-Aid. He's not good.
I know.
Just because he caught 2 passes last week, one went for a touchdown. He's had one good game his entire career.
Why are you so high? Almost
anoint him? Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I could be high on him at wide receiver 50, but I'm not excited about him at all. All right, we're already over an hour here, so let's hit the hyperdrive. We got 3 more games left to cover. Let's do it to it. The Cleveland Browns head over to the Las Vegas Raiders, a matchup of 1 and 2 teams in the AFC. The Browns are getting 2 points. They're getting 2 points. Over under of 37 is caca doo doo, poopy caca. Jerome Ford did return to practice on Thursday. That's good, but he hasn't been good. Just give me your quick 3-sentence analysis on the players that'll be relevant in this game. Players you're excited about, if you are at all.
Bowers, Cooper, end of discussion. I want to get 1 sentence in here.
Of course.
The most watched game in Week 4 will be Chiefs-Chargers. The highest scoring game will be Commanders-Cardinals. Sleeper game of the week is probably Vikings-Packers.
For sure.
Shittiest, sleepiest, least watched game of the week all belong to the Browns and Raiders.
This is a game that Red Zone will be avoiding like the plague.
You will never see it on Red Zone unless Cooper catches an 80-yard touchdown against his old team.
That's right. And yeah, the only time we may see this game is if it's the only one going. Actually, at that point, you have to sign off. So no, I guess we will not see that. And I was wrong because I forgot there's another doubleheader. Real quick, give me your 10-second answer. Do you love or hate the double-deckers on Monday Night Football?
I wish they were split a little bit more. I wish it was... Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this to begin the season, like, for the last decade? Like, wasn't, like,
week one... It's usually just week one, but they've now kind of experimented later in the season.
Well, week one was, like, 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Like, if you're going to do this and you don't like doing 10 o'clock, why don't you do 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock? Or 6 and 9? Something, like, digestible that's not stacked. Because, to be quite honest with you, like, I love doing multi-screen. I love watching 4 and 6 games and shit. But on Monday night, I don't want to watch 2 goddamn screens. I don't want half of my TV to be black. I want the whole screen to be a football game. I want to watch an entire football game. I want to get up. I want to take a leak. I want to refresh my drinks. I want to, you know, put a second pizza in the oven. Put a second steak on the grill, whatever I fancy that night, and I want to sit back down, and I don't want to move for 3 more hours. I don't want this multi bullshit where I miss half of one game. End of discussion.
I agree. I love the doubleheader. Come on, NFL. You put a West Coast game. You start the first one at 7:30, second one at 9:30. It's 8:30 on the West Coast. You rock and roll. Rock and roll it out, baby. Let's go. Let's get freaking freak nasty with it. You know, we did see a lot of those double deckers during on Monday night and stuff during COVID. Remember all the makeup games? And they'd start at 5, and it was awesome. On the East Coast, you would be, I was like grilling, and I'd have a game to watch. It was sick. I loved it. I love the doubleheader, but I do think they got to figure it out. Even if you start one at 7 and one at 8:45, because you don't have to start it at 8:30 or 8. You could do it at 8:45. And give a nice hour and 45-minute difference and still keep it in that primetime window. Figure it out, NFL. You can figure it out. We have faith in you. Now let's talk about the first primetime game on the slate, the Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. A couple of contenders, but one's 3-0. The other is the Baltimore Ravens at 1-2. The Bills, though, are getting 2.5 as road underdogs. They have juice, Mr. Cody Carpentier. You could get 110 plus 110 to take the Bills outright. Feels like a trap, but I'm still going to fall for it. The over-under 46.5 suggests you're playing everybody. So we don't really have to talk about fantasy. Is there anything else, though, in this game? Because you're playing everybody that's involved fantasy-wise, right? You're playing Zay. I guess the question I do have to ask, are you playing Mark Andrews?
I don't know what to do with Mark Andrews, man. We've talked about this guy and the likely thing in week one and the differentiator between these two guys. I don't think I can play Andrews. I just don't think I can.
Who are you playing over him, though? That's my question.
Well, I mean,
Are you playing Kobe Parkinson? Are you playing Cade Otton? Eric All? Like, who the fuck are you playing over Mark Andrews? This tight end position sucks.
Ertz?
You're more in the discussion there. Okay. You could sell me on Ertz.
I mean, I don't have to. He scores double the fantasy points. He gets double the targets. He's got a more accurate quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can play Ertz. I don't mind. I have them right around the same range. Freiermuth. I like him, but even Freiermuth, what is he? Good. You are locked into 7.5 fantasy points.
Good. Give me 7.5. Better than fucking 0.
Right, but I mean, the volatility in Andrews, he ain't going to have 0 every week. He's going to have a game that makes all of these numbers level out.
So will Amari Cooper, but when are you going to find it? You going to find it? I found it last week. I got lucky.
No, you play him every week. That's my point. You play him every week.
Yeah, and guess what? You get fucked.
Yeah, you get fucked, but then sometimes you do the fucking.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as what I didn't draft him, but as far as what people drafted him for, I think they're getting completely stonewalled. The question I have for you is Derrick Henry's first game against Buffalo in a couple of years, the last time he played the Bills at home was in primetime on Thursday Night Football at home. It was in Tennessee at home, but it was at home. And it was on prime time, and I think we all remember the meme/gif that was created that night.
Oh yeah,
when the big dog went for $140, averaged 7 per, and scored 3 TDs. So this defense is a little bit worse than it was then, in my opinion. still a solid defense, but I also don't view Buffalo as Super Bowl contenders like some people do. Jacksonville's not good. They barely beat Arizona in week one. Miami is, I mean, Tua gets hurt in that game, and it was never really close, but the second quarter just got away from them, and that game was just defunct. And I don't think that Buffalo's as dominant as they seem. This game's going to be tight. Derrick Henry's going to be a deciding factor. If they can get the big dog going, I think that leans Baltimore's direction. I mean, both these teams are really good. Buffalo started off hot. Baltimore is not a bad football team. They need this game terribly bad. I'm leaning into the big dog again. He goes for $1.50 last week against Dallas. I think you lean back into this thing. They got it right. We talked about how important it was last week. We talked about it. We brought it up, how massive it was to get the big dog going, mm-hmm. and how badly they needed to do it. And if they didn't, they were fucked the rest of the season. And they did it. They got it right. And so I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to lean into it.
Yeah, I got Henry at 11 this week. I love him again this week. The Ravens have the second best rushing efficiency unit, while the Bills have had a little bit of an issue. They're ranked 27 in rushing efficiency on the defensive side of the ball. So there's a point in which they can really exploit it. And if you go to Pro Football or pro.nfl.com, they have these thing called insights. And I really like these insights. They're little anecdotes. Derrick Henry has forced 21 missed tackles this season. That's the second most. He's generated the fourth most rushing yards over expected at plus 65. The way to beat the Bills is neutralizing Josh Allen. Josh Allen is doing it all for the Bills. Josh Allen has gone Super Saiyan. Josh Allen he's putting together an MVP season. And for the Ravens to get right and get back to 500, they're going to have to run. Still like Zay Flowers as a top 16 play. I'm at wide receiver 16, but I don't think we see the 10 targets. I think we see a more efficient 5, 6, 7 targets. So I still think he gets his. But yeah, I'm definitely hanging out with the big dog Sunday Night Football. That'll be a fun one. Monday Night Football, the first game of the double-decker. The 0-3 Will Levis-led Tennessee Titans head to South Beach to take on the 1-2 Skylar Thompson's the Miami Dolphins. Remember, this was a great game for Will Levis last year in a comeback effort on Monday Night Football. A lot of fun. But in this game, the Titans 1-point dogs on the road. Over under of 36.5 is Garbaggio. What are we doing? Are we looking to anybody in this game?
I don't know how you can play many Titans right now outside of Pollard.
Yeah, that's the only guy I got. I love Pollard this week though. I do.
It's a top 10 matchup. I have him in top 24 play. He's got 15% target share, almost 16% target share on just 60% of the snaps. I love Pollard.
I love Pollard this week. I like him this year. I like him this week for sure.
I mean, Hopkins is on his way. I mean, I think I perceive Hopkins as a guy that's getting healthier. I think that's just the nature of the position, which I think is, I mean, the position he's in, I should phrase this better. He's ran more routes the last 3 weeks. Yeah, 7 target game. I don't know. I just am not. Ramsey's there. Ramsey matches up well against him and Ridley. I don't know what you can do in this passing game. On the Miami side, I'm just praying for Tyler Huntley to play.
Yeah, we need something to save Tyreek Hill. We need to save
Tyler Huntley to bring competency, because if it's Skylar Thompson, this team's going to just – Tennessee's going to walk these guys like dogs, and people are going to be like, oh, Tennessee's back. They're not, but
– Yeah, Dolphins are rough without Tua. What happened to Mike White? Remember when they brought him in last year? He was like, oh, that was a smart play. That was a good move. Didn't have to use him last year. They cut him for Skylar Thompson. I feel like, wouldn't a player like that do this so much better for this type of offense? I feel like he's at least keep his head above water.
He's on the Buffalo practice squad, I think.
Yeah, they cut him. They chose Skylar Thompson.
Mike White. What? Mike what? Mike what?
Mike who?
Mike what? Mike who? What?
All right, let's finish this strong, my friend. The Seattle Supersonic Seahawks head to the Detroit Motor City Kitties, a battle of NFC contenders, 3-0 versus 2-1. Seattle getting 3.5 points as home underdogs. 46 over under 46 is hashtag noise. We like that. Should be a fun one. Should have a lot of fantasy relevant players. But what are we doing with the wide receivers for the Seahawks? Because it feels like you can play two, but someone's eating shit. Who's eating shit this week?
I think you just can play all three. I think you play all three. The last three times these guys have played, which is three times in the last two calendar years, 51-29, 48-45, 37-31 with OT. You're getting all of your fantasy output in all of these games. Last year in this exact game, we saw Geno go for 328, Jared Goff go for 323. We talked about the 48-45 game before. A year ago in this one, we saw Jaxon Smith-Njigba go 5 for 34, while Metcalf went 6 for 75, Lockett 8 for 60. On the other side for the Lions, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs lead the team in receptions. Laporta got work. Josh Reynolds got work. Amon-Ra went for a buck. Like, I just think you fire everybody up. I don't care. Like, don't worry about, oh, JSN's going to get cucked, or Lockett's going to get cucked. Who cares? Metcalf is pretty clearly a top 10 option right now in fantasy football, wide receiver.
I got him at wide receiver 10, yeah.
I think that's exactly where I have him, too. Let me double check here. 10. Alex has him 13. Yeah. Okay. The sheets, just like I told you, whenever we do this show, Alex is like,
he's hammering it out.
He's editing stuff, and so all my numbers are just janked. So every time I go to look stuff up, that's why it's...
Why does this guy not know where he has anybody ranked?
It's because I literally am trying to remember, and the numbers are fucked. Anyway, I think you play everybody in this game. I will rescind my Zach Charbonnet take from last week about comparing him to A.J. Dillon.
I told you, he's Rashad White.
He's not Rashad White. He's better.
That's interesting. But Kenneth Walker's back. So is... Charbonnet back to being nothing if he plays?
If he plays, yeah. But I do think that the split will come back to earth and not favor Charbonnet, but respect Charbonnet, right? Week one, it was 40-20. I don't know what it looks like. 35-25?
I could see. I think it's going to be in favor of Kenneth Walker. I think the move is, especially in seasonal leagues, the moment we hear that Kenneth Walker will return, I'm sending offers out for Charbonnet.
Oblique
injuries don't tend to go away. I don't know if you've played sports, people, but you have to use your torso to do pretty much anything in any damn sport. And your obliques are on your torso.
He's also had this injury now a third time.
Exactly. Bingo. Bing bong. So the second Kenneth Walker is due to return, I'm sending out offers for Zach Charbonnet. In my dynasty leagues, I'm sending out seconds for him. I don't care. If I'm a contender, I'm sending out seconds for Charbonnet because I don't think this is the last we hear of an oblique ailment for Kenneth Walker in 2024. I'm also hammering the over 46. Give me the over. You get minus 108 as opposed to minus 112 taking the under. You want to dare me to take the over? Well, motherfuckers, I will take it. Give me that. You spoke about the shootout potential. I agree. I'm going to go with the over.
The winner in two of the last three matchups has beat the over by itself.
Bingo. And that's it. That's how we're going to end the show. Week four, super excited. A lot of good matchups. We talked about each and every one of them here on The Walkthrough. Cody Carpenter, I'm Matty Kiwoom. We will see you next week for another installment of The Walkthrough. Peace. Double chalk chocolate cookie.